I'd like to speak about the laws of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is the period we call the intermediary days of the holiday. We have them by Sukkot and by Pesach. We have the first days of Yontif, which is mostly like Shabbos. We have the last days that are mostly like Shabbos. And then we have the days in between. And the days in between are called Chol HaMoed. They're called like the weekday of the holiday. They are not... They're not the same, they're not treated the same as the actual days of the holiday itself. But at the same time, Chol HaMoed is part of the holiday. And because of that, it's very important to know what things we may do, what things we may not do. Now, as a whole, there's a problem with the fact that people don't treat Chol HaMoed the way it's supposed to. They kind of take the middle day, those intermediary days of Chol HaMoed, pretty light. And, are very lenient in how they treat it. But in essence, the way we're supposed to look at the period of Chol HaMoed is not to look at it as, well, you know, I can really do everything, but what can't I do? Actually, you have to really look at Chol HaMoed, starting from that Chol HaMoed is like Shabbos and Yontif, and if there's anything that I'm going to be permitted to do, I need a reason for it. I don't need a reason for what I can't do on Chol HaMoed. I need a reason for what I can do on Chol HaMoed. Because the starting point of Chol HaMoed is really to see Chol HaMoed like Shabbos and Yontif itself. And then there are things that the Halacha permits us to do. But instead of assuming that everything's okay, unless you know otherwise on Chol HaMoed, it really should be starting from assuming that I can't do something and I need to know a reason why I could. Now again, it's called Chol HaMoed because at the end of the day, there'll be a lot more things I'm permitted to do on Chol HaMoed than I could do on Shabbos and Yontif. But still, the mindset should not be that Chol HaMoed, everything's okay on Chol HaMoed. There's just a few things that aren't okay. Actually, anything that we're going to say that we say is permitted to do on Chol HaMoed, you need a reason for it. There are reasons, but there has to be a reason. And therefore, Chol HaMoed should be taken much more seriously. Now, the sages of the Talmud anticipated this problem with Chol HaMoed. They anticipated the problem that people will not treat it properly. And as a matter of fact, the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, cites one of the sages who said that we know that Chol HaMoed is a prohibition of Mekach u'Memkar, doing business transactions. Can't do business transactions on Chol HaMoed as a rule, as a starting point, as the rule. But one of the sages said, if it would be up to me, I would take off that prohibition. Why? Because what's Chol HaMoed really for? Chol HaMoed is a time primarily for learning Torah and for eating and drinking in honor of the holiday. You're supposed to treat it like a holiday, like the holiday. Drinking, eating, drinking, and studying Torah. That's what Chol HaMoed is really for. But people aren't doing that. They're just wasting time. So if they're just wasting time on Chol HaMoed, better they do business transactions. Let them be constructive in some way. Now, of course, he was being facetious because he didn't have the power to remove that prohibition. But it was a way of expressing that the sages recognized that people took Chol HaMoed very lightly. They realized that. And actually, they gave very stern warnings about a person who is very lax in keeping Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed is something that we have to realize is something to be seriously kept. And anytime we're going to say something is permissible to do on Chol HaMoed, you've got to first look at what's happening and say, okay, could I do this if it were to be Shabbos? Could I do this if there were to be Yontif? And if I can't do, if it's something that I couldn't do on Shabbos or Yontif, I'm going to need a reason as to why I can do it on Chol HaMoed. So that's kind of the way things have to go. If I have something that I can't do on Shabbos, then I have to find a reason why I can't do it on Yontif. Now, there is an argument amongst the early commentaries, amongst the Rishonim, as to this prohibition of doing what we call malacha, right? The word that we say, prohibited activity, on Shabbos and Yontif is called malacha, which we literally translate as work, as labor. But that's the term. The kind of activity that we may not do in Shabbos and Yontif is called malacha. And there is a machlekes, Rishonim, a machlekes amongst the early authorities as to whether this prohibition is a Torah prohibition or whether it's a rabbinic prohibition. And there's a big difference because in any kind of situation where we have what's called a suffix, a doubt, whether it be a halachic doubt, whether it be a doubt in the facts, in what's happening around you, a serious doubt in a certain situation. So we have a rule that if we have a doubt about a Torah law, we have to be stringent. If we have a doubt about a rabbinic law, we can be lenient. So the Bir Halacha cites many opinions that say that it's a Torah prohibition. And therefore, although there are a number of commentaries of halachic authorities that talk about how Chalamayit is only an Isser Derabbanan, it's a rabbinic prohibition, the Bir Halacha cites many opinions that say it's a Torah prohibition. And therefore, if you're going to be lenient by any kind of a question, by any kind of a doubt that would give us permission to be lenient, it would have to be L'tzarech Gadol. It would have to be for a good reason. You'd have to have a serious need to be able to be lenient on something Chalamayit and to employ to say, well, it's a Safek Derabbanan, it's a rabbinic question. Not so simple, it's a rabbinic question. And therefore, in order to be lenient in a case of a doubt, you would need a tzarech gadol. You'd need a big need for why you want to be lenient. Now, another thing that's important to point out is that we know that on Shabbos and Yontif, there's a prohibition of Amir La'akam, something that you can't do. You can't just ask a non-Jew to do. There's a lot of qualifications. Before you could ask a non-Jew to do something that you can't do on Shabbos, there's a number of qualifications before you could do that. It's one of the most intricate laws involved in the laws of Shabbos. But so there is a prohibition called Amir La'akam, telling a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos that you can't do. There are times where you may, there are times where you may not. The same thing applies on Chalamayit. On Chalamayit, if there's something, some kind of activity that you can't do, then to go ahead and just say, well, I'll ask a non-Jew to do it, got to follow the same rules as you would on Shabbos. Okay? Now, a basic guideline for trying to know what you may do on Chalamayit, what you may not do on Chalamayit. Now, again, what you may do, may not do, again, is revolving around something that we say is forbidden to do on Shabbos, right? Something you can do on Shabbos, learning Torah, you know, whatever it may be that you could do on Shabbos, okay? There's no question about doing it on Cholamite.
Playing ping pong.
Right, whatever it may be. Activities that are permitted to do on Shabbos and Yontif, there's not a question about Cholamite. It's the things that we may not do on Shabbos and Yontif, and we have to now figure out, okay, can I do it on Chalamayit or not? So the basic guidelines of to understand what one may do on Yontif or not do is the following. There is something called Masa Hedyut. Masa Hedyut means unskilled labor. There's Maisa Umin, skilled labor. Okay? Something that is called Maisa Hedyut, unskilled labor, that you need to do it for the purpose of the Moed, for the purpose of the holiday, you are allowed to do on Chalamayit. And we'll go through a number of examples. But this is a rule. The rule is, if it's Maisa Hedyut, it's called unskilled labor, and it's something that you need for Yontif, you can do it on Chalamayit. If it's called Maisa Umin, which means it's a skilled labor, you need skill to be able to do this, that you may not do on Chalamayit, even if you need it for Yontif, unless it's called Davar HaAvad, it's there to prevent the loss, to prevent loss, or it's a Tzarech Eichel Nefesh, or it's needed for food preparation for Yontif, or it's Tzarech Yaguf, or it's for some kind of a physical bodily need. That is when even something that is considered a skilled act, a skilled craft, you can do on Chalamayit. So number one, to always remember for Chalamayit, do I need it for Yontif? If I don't need it for Yontif, I can't do it no matter what. The first qualification is, do I need it for Yontif? I need it for Yontif? Okay, that's one thing, that's one condition met. And then the other thing is going to be, is it skilled labor? Is it unskilled labor? Skilled labor for Yontif use I may do. Did I say skilled? Unskilled labor for the purpose of Yontif you can do. Skilled labor for the purpose of Yontif you cannot do, unless you have the three exceptions that we mentioned before. Now, When we say that something is considered skilled labor or unskilled labor, you know, it's not very simple to define that, you know. You know, based in a very general sense, skilled unskilled labor means something that anyone can do, and people typically do it. Certain type of acts, you don't need to take a course for it, you don't need to read up a lot on it, you don't got to be trained in it necessarily. It's not skilled. Anybody can do it. Basically, every regular person can do it. And it's something that regular people do tend to do. That would be called unskilled labor. Okay? Skilled labor is going to be something that you know, you need special, either you need special training, or it's not something that the common person typically does. There may be some gray areas about certain kinds of activities that maybe, you know, you don't really need to be so skilled, but people don't typically really do it. You know, there are certain gray areas, and as we go through examples, you know, what exactly skilled, not skilled, it can kind of sometimes get a little bit difficult to exactly pinpoint how to define what's called skilled and unskilled. But in a general sense, it's what people can, what the common person can do and does do. Okay. When we say that something is permitted to do because it's for the need of the moed, it's a need for the yontif, that includes whether you need it for a chalamoid, whether you need it for the last days of yontif. Okay? Something that's going to be beyond yontif that you can't do. For instance, okay, and many of the examples I just want to say right now that I'm going to give you come from a shir that I heard from Rabbi Yosef Berger of Baltimore. But, you know, we this was something very relevant to us last year. You know, Shragi's Ufrif was the Shabbos after Pesach was over. Okay? You know, it's a busy time. There's not a lot of time to get ready for a simcha. So, let's say a person says, well, you know, got some time in Chalamayid, I'll bake some challah and rolls that I don't need for Yontif.
Not Pesach.
You're right. Sorry about that. Good point. Sorry about that. Okay, Sukkos.
Okay.
All right? But whatever it is, I'll start preparing something, right? Yeah, through Sukkos, okay? This Sukkos. Yeah, I'll make kugel, okay? Or Sukkos, right? I'll make challah and rolls on Chalamayid that I'm going to go and I'm going to want to use it for the simcha afterwards. You know, just to do that, and you know, we talked about on Yontif, there's a way of doing extra things called Ribi Shi'urim, but that means you're already cooking for Yontif itself. To go in and say, you know, it's going to be after Yontif, it's going to be so busy, you know, and I want to be able just to go and prepare something now, like baking, which is a malach, which we have permitted activity. I want to go in and do that now just for the purpose of after Yontif, that I won't be able to do. Now, at the same time, if let's say we say that you can only do something for the need of Yontif, not for after Yontif, so do I have to, like, be very, very exact and measure everything I do lest I be left with something extra for after Yontif? No, you don't have to sit there and measure everything. You go ahead and make something in a regular way that you do, okay? When you make a pot of chicken soup, right? People don't make little pots of chicken soup. That's not the typical way of doing it. You make a big pot of chicken soup. Oh, but some of the soup is going to be extra, so we left over for after the Yontif. That's not an issue. That's not an issue. You made the soup for Yontif. That's how you make the soup. Fine. You know what I mean? If a person is on Cholamayid baking rolls for Yontif, right? Do they have to sit there and figure out, okay, each person is going to eat exactly this much, and I'll only make this much, and make sure nobody has, and there's no extra left? No. You go ahead, you don't have to be exact, you go ahead and you make like you normally would make for the need for Yontif. If there are extras, fine. To outrightly, actively go and do extra for after Yontif, that's what we call not Tzarech Yontif. That's what it's called when you're doing outside of your Yontif needs. But to have to sit there and be exact, measure out exact, I'll make sure I'll only make what I need for Yontif so that there won't be anything left over that you don't have to do. But to intentionally go and make extra for the sake of being able to have forever Yontif, that's what we say you may not do.